Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Predators in action tonight, regular season finale at Pittsburgh. We'll get into a little bit of a standings check later on this hour. But for now, TD, Teron Davenport, joins us, brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. TD in studio today. It's great to see your face.
I was driving back from downtown, and I said, you know, I text Nick. I said, you want me to come in? I might as well.
Come on.
I was literally driving by, so I said, yeah.
Come on in.
Yeah. Happy to see you and happy to have you in studio today.
Yes.
So we heard from Brian Callahan, Nick Holtz, Denard Wilson last week. 40-minute press conference from Brian Callahan. A lot of information there. Mm-hmm. Overarching question. I know that this is, you know, a very broad question, but just overall takeaways from what you heard.
Well, I'll start with this. It's very refreshing. Absolutely no slight on Mike Vrabel in the previous class or not class, but staff. Mm-hmm. It's very refreshing to see the degree of openness that we get from these guys. I love it. So that's the initial takeaway. I do appreciate how Brian Callahan spoke about when I asked him about Will Levis and his leadership, how he said that he's going to just allow him to go ahead and grow into that role on his own. And I think that's the right way to do it. You have that. Denard Wilson, man, like I smile and kind of like shake every time I say his name because the energy that he brings is just tremendous. And, yeah, so those were the things. And Nick Holtz, too. I want to continue to speak to him because I want to see, like, more of his express a little more because the first press conference, it's like, wow, this dude is like – he don't really say much, you know what I mean? But
and
at least we got him to
Denard
talk
Wilson,
this time.
Which I
yeah.
It's like, how can you go after him?
You notice they reversed it this time.
Probably smart on their part.
Yeah. Here's, because this is the one thing I do like about what is going on, TD, in regards to what went on in the last regime. Again, I think the last regime had its ups and it has its downs, had its pros and its cons.
Yeah.
I think the one of the biggest cons, and I think ultimately it came back to bite him last year in the draft. Too much was getting out of the building. Mm. It was just too much stuff getting out of the building.
Yeah.
This year, you don't see that. Right. You don't see all of these little tidbits. Now, listen, once we get closer to the draft, you know, some things may get out here and there, but I think it will be done purposely in small little things. But last year and years before, it just seemed like so much stuff, information came out of that building. And sometimes it seems like contradicting information. But you don't see that this year. You don't hear it.
Yeah, you don't see that as much this year at all. The leaks, I think, are a lot less. Now, there's a little bit of information here and there that you get. But for the most part, and that's even like with context that I have, it's a little different. But you can't really have that, especially when it cost you the way it did last year as far as the C.J. Stroud and all of that. You're right. But the energy is up.
Yeah, the energy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the energy in the building, from what I've been told, and also even just being in the building that one time, you just feel it from the coaches, I guess. Yeah.
And in that same breath, I feel like there's still a lot of information that fans and myself included, I'll step away from those press conferences feeling like I'm smarter about what's going on behind closed doors, that it's not just I'm not going to answer your question or I'm just going to, you know, totally deny the question because I don't feel like answering it or because I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah.
It's answering it without giving too much away, which I think is a really important and necessary balance as a coach or a coordinator or a general manager. But one thing that I do think is fairly open was about Treylon Burks. Nick Holtz talked about how, look, Treylon Burks is going to get what he earns. Brian Callahan didn't mention Treylon Burks when asked about that wide receiver three spot. What did you take away from what was mentioned and rather not mentioned about Treylon Burks?
Well, that's the first thing that stood out to me when Brian Callahan spoke about the receivers. When he was asked about them, he mentioned how they need a slot guy to emerge. So there's a few ways you could take it. You could take it as if, okay, he's talking about designated slot guys because he did mention Kyle Phillips and Mason Kinsey. But then he mentioned Nick Westbrook and Kenny, and he's not a designated slot guy. So you wonder why he wasn't mentioned. And then got Nick Holes, who said that he has to earn it. Me personally, I take more out of that than I take out of the omission by Brian Callahan, because when I asked Nick Holes about Treylon Burks, he said that he has a lot of potential and talent. But that is not going to get him a spot. You have to earn it. And I think that's the right way to approach it. I commend Nick Holes for coming out and saying it that way, because it's one of those ways where you compliment and then you challenge. And that's what he did. So hopefully for Treylon Burks, that works out for him.
Yeah, because if you're listening, if I'm Treylon and I'm listening, because he's hearing this. There's no way that he cannot be hearing what's coming out of that building, especially you're entering, honestly, a do-or-die season for you. Mm-hmm. It's either put up or we're going in another direction. So to me, it's almost like you heard what Bill Callahan said, and as a player, you might have thought, like, damn. Like, now you're worried. But then you double back and you hear what Holt said. It's like, okay, where am I? Mm-hmm. Where you're at is where Holt said. It's either put up or shut up. You got to earn your position. 2 years prior, it was more or less given to you. And they wanted you to take it. Mm-hmm. It's not that way anymore.
Yeah.
You got to earn it now. And, you know, I just think that's the right way to approach a young guy like that, because like you said, you challenge him. Mm-hmm. It's not that you're not going to be on this team, but I'm going to challenge you to get better. Because if you get better, it makes us better as a unit.
You know, this is the perfect opportunity to find out what Treylon has inside of him.
Yeah.
Every time you want to know someone's true character, what they're really built from, you challenge them, you put them in an adverse situation. Mm-hmm. And in those situations, you either rise to it. It's like a saying, right? You get fresher under pressure. Deshaun Golson, the 49ers safety from a while, he used to always say that, and I loved it. Or you look at Jimmy Johnson. He says, you know, adversity makes the strong stronger or the weak weaker. Mm-hmm. We're going to see what Treylon has inside of him, because this is not a good situation. You know, it's no longer the days when you played where, okay, in the third year, that's when the receiver – is expected to, you know, finally come into things. They expect contributions immediately now, and he hasn't done that for whatever reason. So I'm curious how this is going to work out for him. I want to see how he responds to this challenge.
Well, I mean, it just depends on, because I think, well, I don't think I know. Caroline asked that question last week, like, does he want it? And that's the essential question.
Because he can.
You know, yeah.
That's why he was a first-round pick.
Absolutely. He has the ability.
Yep.
He has everything, just about everything you would ask for in a receiver. He's big, strong, break tackles, has some speed to him, good hands. It's now, do you want it? Mm-hmm. You know, and the only person that can answer that question is Treylon. You know, I can want you to want it, but if you don't want it or don't take it, there's nothing I can do. So we're going to find out, like you said, TD, whether he wants it or not.
Yeah.
And maybe, just maybe, that's the question in the building, whether he wants it or not. They know he can play. Mm-hmm. You can play. I know that. But do you want it? That's really the essential question there.
Yeah. And even you look at, okay, you got your coach challenge you. Mm-hmm. The organization is challenged. They went out.
Yeah.
They spent $50 million.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, to bring somebody in to do what you were drafted to do. And I apologize for banging the table like
no,
that.
No.
It just kind of it makes me passionate about it, and I'm not even in a situation, so I can't imagine like how he should be or how he does feel right now, because I would feel challenged, and I would like,
so he'll figure it out.
We're talking with TD in studio. Before I send it over to Willie, Willie's in Pittsburgh. Preds in action against the Penguins tonight. Less than 2 weeks away from the draft, which is wild. It's like,
yeah,
it's, I wanted
crazy
to be here tomorrow, and I also want like another month of all of this gossip and tea. But every single mock draft I look at, and then I understand the mock draft's not real life.
Right,
but every, I always think it's interesting, you know, different insiders who know different things that might look at needs different ways or evaluate prospects differently.
Mm-hmm.
Every single mock draft has the Titans taking Joe Alt.
Yeah.
Every single mock draft. Is it that easy? Is it that simple?
It should be that easy, right? You can't help but think of the Wu-Tang, right? Can it be that it was all so simple?
Hope.
That should be the draft theme music, at least for the first round. But I don't think it's that way. I think it's going to end up being a situation where, okay, one of three things. either Joe Alt is selected earlier by the Chargers or somebody, or one of two things. They trade back. I think that trade back possibility is really strong. I don't think it's as simple as Joe Alt is the guy. Even though it seems like, because like it's very rare when you have a top three prospect, the number one at the position, matching the hugest need an organization uh-huh. has. So it should be that simple, but I don't think it's going to be.
Never that lucky.
Never.
Then what?
Trade back, you know, and get another player, another draft pick, or, you know, I don't know. It's going to be really, really – I'm looking forward to it. I'll just say that, yeah.
Teron Davenport is with us. So, Teron, along those lines, we had an interesting discussion about Bowers. I'm curious, with your personal evaluation, because all of us can sit there and say, yeah, I've watched Georgia play a lot of games these last few years. They've been right in the national title hunt. So if you love college football, even if you're not a Georgia fan, you've seen them play a bunch, and that can set up a bias. But how would you evaluate him? Is he that special that you would need to consider him at 7?
I think you have to consider him. He's a very special player. You do have the shortcomings in blocking. So it's like, okay, how formation dependent are you going to be with him, right? Are you going to want to run 4 receiver sets? Are you going to want to run 12 personnel? Because you still have Okonkwo, you got Josh Wiley that you want to get on the field. I just look at it this way. Okay, Brock Bowers, Joe Alt, Malik Nabers. Who is going to contribute the most immediately? And to me, that's where I go back to the offensive line, Joe Alt, and I think that would be the best. But you absolutely have to consider him, because it's one of those things where you're like, okay, if we pass him up and he's great, like, I don't want to be in a Sam Bowie or Michael Jordan situation, right? One of those types. So,
okay. So here's the other thing that we kicked around that I always wonder at this time of year when you hear all this stuff about McCarthy. Is J.J. McCarthy a first-round graded quarterback from your eyes?
No, he's not, and it's not because of him. It's just like, for me, like, and watching him, the grade is incomplete. Because you look at, and I'm always going to have that question, right? This is a 5-star. He was a 5-star quarterback coming out of high school. Jim Harbaugh remained a run-heavy offense. In fact, we know the Penn State game. They ran the ball 32 times.
They didn't run in the second half, did they? I mean, they didn't throw the ball yet in the second half.
They ran 32 times.
That was one of the boringest games I watched all year. Nobody could do anything.
Right, so I take that. I'm like, so I have that question. But some coaches, they stick to their DNA. That's what they do. That's what Harbaugh has done all the way back to touchdown Tommy at Stanford, right? Mm-hmm. But then you turn around, you look at situational football. You look at third downs. You look at times where, okay, they absolutely needed a play. He delivered. Mm-hmm. So that's the part that makes you like, can we stretch that out over a longer period of time? And so as an evaluator, I would be very intrigued by that, but I still think that there's at least 3 quarterbacks that are better.
But it can't fool you to a point where, because there are a lot of quarterbacks out there like that, mm-hmm. that you put them in a position, they excel. Like, yeah. You put them in certain positions, they just excel, but then you don't get that extension. Like, they don't play that well for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And that's the part you got to kind of weigh. Like, yeah, third down, this, yeah, he does well, but we don't know how well he does in the long stretches.
Right.
You know, maybe that's why Jim Harbaugh decided, listen, we're not going to put a lot on his plate. Because Jim knows, just like anybody else, in order to win championships, you got to have that quarterback, or you have to have everything else around you, i.e. Michigan. Everything else around you is great. Perfect. It's perfect, and it was perfect for Michigan. And I hate to say it, but it was perfect for Michigan this season. Can he then take that and translate that into the NFL? You can't play that way in the NFL. The quarterback has to be the guy that's a dominant force.
Exactly.
And is he that dominant force?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Teron, I have to take a moment. Met fan to Met fan. Yes, I am so jealous.
Therapy.
I'm jealous that you got – well, you know, we're playing better. We're playing a little better.
Yeah, got the win yesterday.
This is about a guy that I grew up, and I still to this day will tell everybody that never saw him pitch how special Dwight Gooden was.
Yeah.
He was like the meteor shooting through the sky. It didn't last as long as maybe you hoped, and he part of it was self-inflicted. He would be the first to admit that. But you got a chance to actually see the Mets retire his number yesterday. But I'm sure there's probably some younger listeners that are like, was he that great? Like, he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Man.
But, like, there's certain athletes that make their mark, right? I think of Bo Jackson and some other people. Like, you had to see him.
You had to see
right?
him.
But but Dwight Gooden would be in that category,
look,
right?
Man, anybody that questions Doubt Gooden, go just Google 1984, or excuse me, 85 season. Like, that season was stupid. Triple crown winner. It was great to get to see that. I made it a point to see that. I wasn't going to miss it because I can't tell you how many times I saw Ron Darling, Bob Ojeda, Sid Fernandez. I saw these guys start. Like, I would always – my aunt, like, she would take me she would take me to those games. We never got to see Doc, so I never got to experience it. So to see that energy and feel it yesterday was – it was all that, man. And I wasn't going to miss it. And then to see Daryl Strawberry in the building, you know, him – the heart attack just like a month ago. Lee Mazzilli was there. Barry Lyons. Like, I'm looking, I was like, that's Barry Lyons. Like, who would remember who the heck he is? So just like the way that allowed me to go back, and even just riding the train to the stadium, like, it just took me back to being a little kid and going to it. And that's the beauty of sports. It's just like music, where it's a time machine and it's an escape. So yeah, man, like Doc Gooden. And then not to mention, and Willie, we were texting about this, the way he's overcome his demons. You know, we all have vices and things that, you know, could alter our life. But the way he overcame, and it took so long. Like, I mean, this dude in 1986, he missed the championship parade because he was in a crack house. This is Doc Gooden, the best pitcher in the league, waking up in a dope house and missed it. But now you look at where he is now, all these years later. He has a son, by the way, that plays for the University of Maryland football. But you look at all these years later, he's finally right. And that was when he said that in his second sentence, that my mental health is okay. I forget what he didn't say substance problem, but he just mainly just said his health overall is okay. And like, that was worth it for me. I had to fly back because I called myself being a good boyfriend. My lady, I had gotten tickets to Dion Cole, and the show was postponed to yesterday, so I had to alter the plan. So I missed Edwin Diaz closing the game.
Oh, you missed the trumpets.
I told her, I said, you owe me. So if you're listening,
you owe me.
You know what it is.
Older too, absolutely.
Yeah. Let me. You guys, this real quick, Caroline and D-Mates, like Teron and I, we, there's that category. Like, Bo Jackson's in that category. I think maybe Penny Hardaway will be in the category of you had to see him, and maybe a younger person would not appreciate how great they were at their best. Yeah. But do you guys have somebody in that mindset
me,
you would buddy about?
For me, it was Grant Hill. Nobody knew how. Man, have Grant Hill not had all those injuries to his knees? This guy was on his way to being the face of the NBA. Like, literally, watch Grant Hill. Because Grant Hill was one of those positionless players.
Yep.
He can play the one, he can play the two, three, and four.
And jump.
This guy was – you hated him when he was in Duke.
Yes.
But
yes.
When he got to Detroit, it was like he was a savior. Like, you just don't know. And he doesn't get mentioned.
Remember, it was because he and Allen Houston together for
exactly.
A stretch.
He doesn't get mentioned because – his career was derailed by injuries early on. But, man, had he stayed – it's sort of like you got Grant Hill and Tracy McGrady.
Tracy McGrady.
Had those two guys – well, three, because you throw Penny in there. Those three guys had not gotten hurt, you would have been talking about all-time greats with all three of them. That's how good they were, especially Grant Hill. And then Derrick Rose. I look at Derrick Rose.
Oh, man.
Like, crazy. I was talking to my son the other day about Derrick Rose. I was like,
what,
man, I was like, you just don't know how good Derrick Rose was.
Killing him, a 2-foot jumper.
Exactly. I said, this
bang
dude
on your neck at
was
6'1".
Good.
Well, TD, we appreciate you stopping by. Before we get you out of here, 2 weeks away from the draft, some things that you're keeping in mind, reminders that you want to send out to Titans fans, just things that you're looking at as we approach the draft.
I think you continue to watch the interest in quarterback. how those, like if you see Michael Penix Jr., mm-hmm. the interest in him start to emerge. Not saying that will make a team trade into the top six or anything like that, but watch that because that could have to do with how teams look at the quarterback. And, you know, if four quarterbacks go before the Titans pick a seven, mm-hmm. like you're really sitting pretty, you know. So that's something to watch.
Best case scenario.
I think you watch the visits that they do. You watch the positioning as far as like how people look at this offensive line. Because mm-hmm. J.C. Latham is quietly closing the gap between himself and Joe Alt. I still think Alt mm-hmm. is better, but yeah. Those are some things that I would watch.
Now, quickly, receivers.
Mm-hmm.
How many receivers you believe go in the first round?
Oh, man. I think up to eight could.
Mm-hmm.
Keon Coleman and Xavier Real Worthy. Leggett? Those, I think, are going to be the ones that kind of like mm-hmm. – in Leggett, too. Okay. Like, where those guys go, I think it's going to dictate it. But okay. I could think you see eight.
Mm.
TD, tell us about ESPN Bet.
Yeah, for sure. ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring. It's the exclusive sports book of ESPN, and it has it all, whether it be offers and promotions from Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith, from the playoff intensity to getting on the links and out to the ballpark. There's no better time to be a sports fan than right now. And as a new user, if you download the app, you get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. So, again, download ESPN Bet today. What a play. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee. For problem gambling support, call or text TN Redline at 800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details.
It's obviously been like you and your staff trying to put together obviously plans to win the game, but knowing that you need to be up for several days after next Monday, kind of the balance of all your that goes into that.
Yeah, it's a unique situation. You don't see it very often. A lot of times you play these games and you finish Sunday and or you finish tonight and you play Tuesday or Wednesday. You know, we finish Monday and we don't play for possibly a week. So it's hard to figure the roster management, you know, who needs a rest, who doesn't. You got to stay sharp because you don't play for a week. You know, I've been on those situations where it's gone both ways, where I've had breaks in the playoffs where you miss a week and you get swept, and other ones where it didn't really matter. So you never really know what you're getting into. So it's been a lot of discussion. Trying to do what's best. At the same point, just playing hockey. We still have lots to play for. And I think it's the more you play, the sharper you'll be as you get in. I know it's a week off, but you know, you don't want to get guys to take too much longer than that.
There you go. That was Predators head coach Andrew Burnett addressing the question that we've been talking about over the past couple of weeks since the Predators clinched the playoffs. It brought up the question of, okay, now where do you go from here? How valuable is the wild card one spot to you? Is it more valuable than getting some of your veterans some rest? But the Predators won both games over the weekend, took down the Blackhawks 5-1 on Friday. Some vets got some rest in the process. UC Soros got some rest. Kevin Lankinen was in net on Friday. Turn around back home against Columbus on Saturday, and they take down the Blue Jackets 6-4 in what was at least two good periods from the Predators. Mm-hmm. Not the best third period, but they found a way to win. So now it all comes down to tonight, the regular season finale at Pittsburgh. The Predators need one point to clinch that wild card one spot. And Willie, I have seen that UC Soros will be in net, and I believe there's a lot of speculation that it's going to be, you know, it's going to be the roster, the lineup as we've kind of grown to know what it is. It's going to be the playoff lineup, at least is what I've heard tonight, Willie. So it sounds like to me the Predators are trying to clinch that wild card one spot.
Yes, that's what it appears, that they are going to play to win this game. Andrew Burnett told us earlier today, he says this is going to be like a quasi-playoff game because for the Penguins, it is a must-win. This is the true definition of must-win. If they lose, I don't think they are eliminated per se, but they're all but eliminated. It would take a miracle, and I don't think it's going to happen. There's too many other teams, and they're already behind by a point, so they've got to have this one. You're going to see everything that the Penguins have to offer. And I think for the Predators, that's probably a good thing. You heard Andrew Burnett say the key, and that is there's probably going to be about a week between tonight and the time they take the ice for the first time in the playoffs, and that's a lot longer than normal because the regular season extends for a couple more games. But for whatever reason, the schedule makers have this as game 82 for the Predators. So to do it themselves and clinch wild card one, which I think is their goal, they need at least a point tonight. A win would obviously do it. It would have already been in the bank had Colorado not coughed up a 3-0 lead in the third period to Vegas yesterday. But Vegas made a great comeback. They won in overtime. So there's still a magic number of one for wild card one. So it's a do-it-yourself kind of thing tonight. Otherwise, they'll just have to sit in the clubhouse and watch and see if Vegas wins the last two games. And if they did, then they would be wild card one, and Nashville would slip to wild card two. So that's what's on the line tonight.
And I will say about tonight what I said over the last couple of weeks about the Predators clinching the playoffs. Just take care of your own business so you don't have to worry about someone else not taking care of theirs. Because like you said, you're keeping an eye on Vegas. Well, Vegas plays Chicago tomorrow at home and then again at home against Anaheim. Like, those are two games that Vegas very easily can win. Like, that's a Vegas team that's playing for something and two teams that aren't playing for anything. And we just saw the Golden Knights beat the Avs over the weekend. So I would say for the Predators, if the wild card one spot is important to you, which it looks like from the looks of it, it is important to the Predators to have a more opportune matchup, assuming that that wild card one spot does in fact get Vancouver, which appears to be, I think we can agree, is probably a more favorable matchup for the Predators than the Dallas Stars that are playing like the best team in the National Hockey League. Just take care of your own business tonight. Just get a point. But obviously that's easier said than done, Willie. You bring up that the Penguins are fighting for their lives. They lose tonight, and it really feels like their playoff hopes have gone away a little bit, dwindled at least significantly.
Yes, and they had a tough loss, the Penguins did, against the Bruins, which put them from in the top eight to outside the top eight. And so they're a little down from that. So I'm really curious how they come back. But I think they feel like win these two games and you've got a legit shot. Also, there's some demons from last year with this group. As great as they've been over the years, they had this situation last year and lost a couple of key games late. They lost one to the Blackhawks last year. And that allowed the Panthers to jump them and get into the playoffs. And we know what the Panthers did from that, but I'm sure the Penguins guys were saying that should have been us. We should have been in that spot with a chance to make a run in the playoffs. So they're not used to missing the postseason with Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin and all those great players that they still have from, you know, just a great generation of hockey, really. It's been so much excitement in this city for that team. So it's a little bit of uncharted territory. They were given up for dead a few weeks ago. To their credit, they rallied to get into this spot. So it'd be tough to make up the ground that they did and then fall short. So I think you're going to see some serious desperation tonight. And that's probably, I think, a good thing for the Predators. You know, when you walk onto that ice tonight, if you're just going to cruise to the finish line, you're probably going to get whipped pretty bad. So you better bring it for this one.
It feels like a playoff game tonight. Mm-hmm. And not in the fact that, you know, you lose and you go home. We know the Predators are in the playoffs, but for Pittsburgh, it is lose or go home. Win or go home. It is do or die for the Penguins. That's what the vibe every single night in the playoffs is going to be. Every single game is do or die. Every single opponent that you're going to be playing in the first round, ideally the second round, hell, even the third round of the playoffs. Everything is going to be do or die. And like you mentioned, Willie, it could be a full week until the Preds play in a playoff game. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of time. Like, it's unfortunately some time that you can lose an edge a little bit. So I think that this is best case, to your point, Willie, best case scenario for the Predators in the fact that they're not going to end the season with just kind of we can play not our best hockey and cruise to a victory. Like, we're going to have to stay sharp.
Oh, yeah, they're going to have to. And I think this is the question that I think I asked you last week, Willie, is when you've sewn up that berth, whether it be the first or the second wild card, when do you rest your players? And how do you rest them? Because you don't want them to get out of sync.
Right.
Because you want them to go into, you know, the playoffs on a roll, in a rhythm, playing good hockey. They've been playing good hockey. They've lost some, but for the most part, they've been playing good hockey. You don't want to interrupt that by giving them too much time off.
And so if you looked at what they did with the back-to-backs on Friday, Saturday, they rested Ryan McDonough and Gus Nyquist on Friday, and they rested Colton Sissons and Cole Smith on Saturday. That allowed them to get a couple other guys in there, like a Cody Glass, who played a couple of good games, got a big goal on Saturday. And they got a look at Jared Anderson Dolan, who's been sort of in the witness protection program since he was picked up on waivers, right? He's there.
Yeah.
But he hadn't gotten into a game. And so it was great to at least allow him to get in there and get a game, because in the playoffs, you never know. If you could be fortunate enough to make a run and the attrition starts, guys get banged up, your depth gets tested. And so they wanted to get a look at him. For sure. So they didn't rest many guys, and tonight it doesn't look like they're resting anybody. There's a question about Alex Carrier, because he did leave the game early against Columbus, but he did skate this morning. But it's unclear if he's going to be in there tonight. If not, it'll probably be Dante Fabro. But so I think the question has been answered. There was limited, if any, limited roster management, as they called it, getting some guys a night off, not wanting them to play the back-to-backs. But I think tonight is just business as usual, play to win, and try to grab that wild card one spot.
So let's do a little bit of a standings check, Willie. We know that if the Predators at least get to overtime tonight, if they can at least pick up 1 point, they clinch the wild card one spot. It'd be great if they could pick up 2 points and then kind of rub it in Pittsburgh's face in the process. I think everybody would be very pro that. Let's say the Predators.
Oh, I think some Predator fans would love to see that.
Cherry on top. Because that's another thing, is it's not just Pittsburgh playing for their lives. It's not just the Predators playing for solidifying that wild card one spot. These teams also hate each other, which adds a nice little sprinkle of fun into this matchup tonight, Willie.
No question about it. So for Pittsburgh, they are – So this is, again, a little bit fluid for the West. Nashville's magic number is 1 to secure wild card 1. But as you mentioned, Caroline, Vegas has got 2 games lined up that they should win, right, in the last 2. So if you leave the point on the table tonight, you could seriously be looking at wild card 2, which wouldn't be the end of the world. But I think – they would prefer to be wild card 1. In the West, over the weekend, the Canucks got a clutch win in Edmonton over the Oilers to all of a sudden reestablish dominance of that spot. So the magic number is 1 for the Canucks in 2 games. If they have 2 games left, if they get 1 point, they will secure the Pacific Championships. So that would mean Predators versus Canucks in the first round. So that's still the highest mathematical possibility. But I don't think it's crazy to say Nashville could lose tonight. Vegas wins 2. That would put Nashville pitted against the Dallas Stars in the first round. Now, there is one other possibility. If the Stars lose their last game and Vancouver wins their last 2 games, then all of a sudden it flips and Vancouver is the overall 1 seed in the West, and that could flip things. So there's still some craziness, but I would say high probability as we sit here tonight or today that it's Vancouver versus Nashville in round 1. But it's still possible it could flip.
And that's how I view tonight. Get the point and control your own destiny. Don't be sitting on the edge of your seat watching Vegas over these next couple of games. If, in fact, playing Vancouver is as high of a priority for the Predators as maybe it is for some of us, so I'll ask you, Willie, is Vancouver your preferred playoff opponent?
You know, preferred, it acts like I don't think they're any good or anything like that. But I think there's just, for reasons that I would lay these out as to why it's the most favorable. They don't have, and Elliot made this point, they don't have a roster full of players that have a great track record of playoff success. It's limited there. And this team itself hasn't made the playoffs in a couple years. So they're not as battle-tested in the playoffs as Edmonton or Dallas. Dallas has got a ton of guys. Dallas has been pushing the last couple years to win a cup. Right? That 2020, 2022, 2023, deep runs in the playoffs, you know, taking teams to game 7. They've been through a lot of battles together. So they know what it's like for that playoff run. Same thing with Edmonton. Vancouver is not quite in that category. And I think statistically, when you look at expected goals for and against per game, they grade out a little bit lower than Edmonton and Dallas. So I think that's why, and it's still pick your poison because Vancouver's sitting right there with 107 points. They've had an unbelievably good year.
And that's the difficult thing that I feel almost guilty talking about a quote-unquote preferred playoff opponent because they're all going to be good teams. Like saying I want the Predators to play Vancouver isn't like, well, that's going to be a walk in the park. That's going to be, you know, four cupcake games that the Predators win no problem. That's not necessarily the case. It's just looking at the roster, as you mentioned, Willie. But also there's the other side of it with Dallas that there's some history there.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are some headlines there with the Dallas Stars in a Predators matchup.
Oh, man.
And I think that would fuel them versus a Vancouver team that, when was the last time the Predators played the Canucks?
I believe December.
Okay, so it's been a minute.
It was a 5-2 loss. Mm-hmm. So
it's not like they're not going to be fired up.
They were 0-3. 0-3 against the Canucks during the season. And all three pretty decisive wins by the Canucks. But that was when I think the Canucks were flying high.
Mm-hmm.
Their first two-thirds of the season was lights out. They could do no wrong. They've leveled off some since then. And the Predators, we know, it took a while for them to get in gear. So I think the regular season stuff may be a bit of a wash. And Dallas, I do think there's just great rivalry stuff there. I do think that would be, from a theater perspective, a tremendous matchup. You got the Duchesne story. You've got the Stars eliminating the Predators last time they met in the playoffs in 2019. That was kind of a bitter series, one that didn't go well for Nashville at all. So I think you definitely have a lot of spice there. And the travel would be more reasonable for that series as well.
Let's wrap it up with some of your thoughts coming up next. Everything is on the table. Predators regular season finale tonight at Pittsburgh. Need 1 point. Plus recap of our conversation with TD and what Mark Domenech said. Brock Bowersby is slam dunk for the Titans at 7. Everything is on the table, and we are right to you coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline Willie D. Mays, Predators regular season finale tonight at Pittsburgh. Preds need 1 point to secure the wild card one spot, and the Penguins, they just need a win. They just need as many points as they can possibly get to find themselves in the playoffs. Willie, we've got some concerned fans in the text line worried about how much time the Predators will likely have between tonight and the beginning of the playoffs. What do you want to see from the Predators tonight to make sure that they keep that edge going into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think that will be something to watch after tonight, is exactly what does Andrew Brunette do to try to keep them sharp? Because as he said in that clip we played in the last segment, he's really never seen that before. Most of the time, traditionally, the season would end on a Saturday or a Sunday, and the playoffs would start Wednesday or Thursday. So if that were the case, then I don't think you would see them playing everybody tonight. That might well be an option. But now, because they have a week and they still have a chance to clinch wild card one, those two things put together have them playing full lineup tonight. So that's the start, is you play everybody tonight and you play it as if it's a real game, almost like a playoff game. This is kind of like a quasi-playoff game. So it's a great stepping stone into the playoffs. But I think later next week, you know, you might see something. They're not going to have an inter-squad scrimmage or anything like that, but I think they'll probably do some drills or something to try to create some game time, game-like situations. That's a unique challenge.
Willie, have a good call tonight. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company's up next.
Be love and love on your people. Happy Monday. Peace.